You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 6 December. We've got U.S. unemployment due this afternoon. Expected 4.2% versus 4.1% previously. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Alex Dace and Thimble Wealth. The Signia results, what were they? I think they were Wednesday. I want to chat around that. Listed asset managers. I mean, we're seeing local equities rise. Does that help? We'll get Alex's thoughts. Martin Ackerman from Citadel. Why he's cautious about global growth over the next few years, and thoughts from me on my year-end portfolio review. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb: McKinsey to pay around 2.2 billion rand to resolve South African bribes case. Agreement resolves both a U.S. investigation and a prosecution by the South African's National Prosecuting Authority. $10 says they pay the money, but say not guilty. Business Day, African Bank emerges as preferred bidder for Eskom's multi-billion rand home loan book. Successful deal could mark lenders' entry to that secured lending market. Morning markets, the US was red, S&P down 0.2%, NASDAQ off a third of a percent. The East is mixed with Sydney down a quarter of a percent, Tokyo down 0.9%, Hong Kong is up 1.7% and Tencent up 1.33%. Commodities, mostly red, gold $2,659 an ounce, Brent 72.02, platinum is the green at 951, palladium 980. Rand 18.02, Bitcoin 97,300. Top 40 opening call, looking for a green open, 130 points or 0.2% higher.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Alex Dace from Thimble Wealth. Alex, appreciate the early morning time. The Signia results out earlier in the week. I mean, assets under management up almost 10%, revenue up 12%, earnings up some 15%, dividend only up 3.3%. Your take on the numbers, your take on the sector and opportunity. At the simplest level, as we see markets rise, they get more assets, they earn more fees. Is there opportunity here?
Good morning, Simon. I would like to think so, yes. I think Signia has done quite well since listing, considering how bad South African markets have been and also the lack of savings in our country. So if you look at their, for example, over the last 9 years or so, I think they grew profits about sevenfold. You know, assets grew substantially. So they've done quite well. I have a feeling that this type of business, you know, it's better for compounder, right? It can probably continue to grow at 10% plus for extended periods of time. Mm-hmm. Now, if it can do that, then it's quite attractive because it's trading at a P of about 10 and call it a dividend yield of slightly less than that. They do have ambitions to grow assets under management more. They are targeting, for example, over 400 billion assets under management and administration in the near term. Mm-hmm. They're expanding further into retail, which is a bit higher margin. For example, the ETFs, and they've got some retail products. They are gaining in the umbrella funds side of the equation. It's a business that I think is doing relatively well and is well positioned. So I must say, I think I'm quite lukewarm to positive on Signia.
And I take your point. I mean, they've done this in an environment of chronic unemployment, low GDP. If we can just get a little uptick in GDP, a little downtick in the unemployment rate, that could really help Signia. More people working means more people having retirement products and various different investing and saving products. And Signia is in exactly the right space.
Exactly. So it's first obviously a function of employment, which we've seen has not been really growing. So if we do get some GDP growth above 2%, it should be new job employment. And if people have got more money in their pocket, they will probably save a bit more. Mm-hmm. I think those are two important aspects. And lastly, emerging markets have underperformed developed markets materially, since, call it 2010. Mm-hmm. So if we do see eventual swing there, emerging market asset actually goes up. That will also obviously assist this business as the overall value of the market increases. You know, so I think there are a few potential tailwinds there. You can also see it in their commentary. I mean, Magda is renowned for being quite negative about South Africa, but this set of commentary, she's cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
That things might change for the better.
Yeah, she was. She absolutely was. A quick follow-up question. You and I were on TV last night. You were liking on the Tiger Brands.
Yes, Simon. So for me, I think Tiger Brands, the turnaround strategy is firmly in place. They made remarkable progress in H2 compared to H1, in my view. And there's still more to come. Now, if they can achieve this, I think Tiger Brands could probably generate earnings double digits sustainably over the medium term. If they can do that, then the valuation looks compelling. Also, if you look at the balance sheet, very, very strong, very good cash generation. I do think special dividends, higher dividends, and, of course, share buybacks on the cards. As they continue to reduce the complexity of the business and trying to turn around this big ship, which takes time, but the reward can be very rewarding if they can actually execute.
Yeah, I take your point. It's going to perhaps be a slower process. It's medium term. It's perhaps not all around next year. But if it plays out, it could be quite very rewarding. We'll leave it there. Alex Dace, Portfolio Manager, and Thombo Wealth, appreciate the early morning time. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Martin Ackerman, Citadel Chief Economist. Martin, appreciate the time. Good news globally, economic news in 2024. Inflation coming down, rates starting to come down locally and globally. Was our Reserve Bank perhaps too strict with only a 0.5% rate cut during the course of the year, 1 September, 1 November?
Yes, Simon, I think, if we just go back to January this year, first in the US, the expectation was for about 7 cuts.
Yeah.
And we only had not even half of that. That talks to sticky inflation globally, US, and pretty much the same thing in SA. So yes, our inflation is now looking very good. We probably saw the low of 2.8. I think from here going forward, inflation is probably going back into target. But our Reserve Bank reacted in the same kind of fashion, not cutting too quickly, too fast. And there's a huge debate going on whether they could have acted more and we could have seen bigger cuts. But I think, they always take a forward-looking view. And given the fact that inflation is coming back, and unfortunately, we just had that quite significant increase again in the fuel price and the diesel price. So the inflation story is not 100% behind us. And that is probably why the monetary policy is slightly slower than most people expected at this point in time.
We've also got President-elect Trump, his policies on tariffs, his policies on immigration, both potentially inflationary. And we might actually see that this rate-cutting cycle, not as deep as many as hoped, just the central banks kind of exercising some caution into 2025.
Yeah, I think, if you think about now that Trump is returning to the White House, his three biggest policies that he will implement is trade, immigration, and fiscal. Mm-hmm. All three of those are actually longer-term inflationary. We already have sticky inflation, so if that's now even going to make it even more sticky, that talks to the fact that central banks are probably slower in terms of normalizing interest rates. And to be honest, if you look at the market right now, they're even pricing in a likelihood of a 26% hike in the U.S. first part of next year. So I don't think that will happen, but it supports the view that the cutting cycle is going to be much slower. And if anything, we might even go into 2025 with a view of just holding it where it is at this point in time.
And then, taking that caution, globally and locally, surely GDP growth perhaps not as stellar or as strong as hoped.
Yeah, so, the world has been slowing before Trump been elected back to the White House for a number of reasons. The U.S. is the only one that's outperforming all the others quite significantly. So they're also going into a slowdown mode. And on top of that, you'll have just highlighted all those policies are also growth negative. So the world is definitely seeing massive headwinds in terms of global growth. And then if you turn to the SA story, we've seen those numbers earlier this week, our own local economy. It's actually, it shows a disconnect between the positive sentiment after the government of national unity and the reality still on the ground. And that makes one realize that, there's still a lot of hard work for us just to get this economy going. And unfortunately, going into 2025, we're not just going to face our own challenges, which are significant, as we know, but this global landscape that is changing will add some headwinds to the South African growth story as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I imagine exporting nations probably going to be hit harder.
Yeah, so for us, you know, we are a major exporter. You know, the US is important to us, but so is Africa and China. So we're sitting with this kind of problem that if there is a trade war, China is under pressure, affects us directly. If that trade war also impacts us through something like the renegotiation of Algoa, yeah, that's the headwinds I'm talking about. So we're still busy trying to fix our own issues from the trains and the rails to the ports. But if we get that global headwind, you know, yeah, that will put us, unfortunately, under pressure to actually get back to capacity growth for another couple of years. So we need to prepare for quite a challenging environment for the next couple of years.
And what about China? Because, of course, they're the, not so much a counterbalance, but they're another giant economy globally that has been, in previous years, doing very well. They've slowed a bit. They're a fair bit of an export nation as well. Is China a concern?
So China has been slowing, as you said. You know, they, at the moment, very selective in terms of stimulating, probably more trying to put a floor on the economy rather than get it going quite significantly.
Mm-hmm.
So in this kind of environment, you know, unless there's an agreement, which is still a possibility between the Chinese and the US to avoid a full-blown trade war, if we go down the trade tariffs issue, that will put a massive lid onto them. Again, having a direct impact not only on us, but also other emerging market countries. But this actually might just put them into the corner where, you know, this year they've been very almost slack on stimulating the economy because they want to prevent any bubble forming of overheating of the property market. But, you know, if this trade war continues, they might just need to actually start to stimulate. And again, that turning back to us as a major commodity exporter to them can actually have some positives. But yeah, back to your point, China is facing also local issues quite significantly, and the current outlook for 2025 and where the world is going is a headwind for them as well.
A last question. I mean, the talk 2 years ago this time was all about recession. It faded. There wasn't much this year. Is there a reasonable fear that we could see some major economies falling into recession, or is it just a case of lower growth but not necessarily recession?
Yeah, very good point. I think, you know, if you go exactly like you said, the last year or two, especially the US, a lot of indicators suggested that they might be heading into recession.
Mm.
We haven't seen that. You know, they surprised to the upside on all metrics. So now everybody's talking about US exceptionalism. So the US aside, you know, the rest of the world didn't experience that. Maybe not a recession, but, you know, call it 0.3% growth in areas like Europe and Germany. That's not really, you know, moving forward. Japan actually did experience recession. So everybody, excluding the US, were in a very, and it's still in a very growth kind of slump environment. And that's part of the concern that, you know, going into next year, you don't really see anything that will suddenly kickstart a huge recovery for them, given the policies that's coming into the mix. But I think where we are right now, you know, the US, despite Trump policies going to be growth negative, we'll probably experience that soft landing. So the world is probably going to see a growth number 2 to 2.5%, which is not a recession. And on the back of that, there's, unless it's an external event, there's no need yet for a massive bear market. But I do think from where markets are sitting at this point in time, investors need to prepare themselves. The returns need to moderate and normalize. We've seen one of the strongest 1 year returns on record, and you can't expect to repeat that year after year.
Yeah, and last year for the US was also one of the strongest on record.
Yeah.
We're not going to get that repeatedly. We'll leave it there. Martin Ackerman, Citadel Chief Economist, always appreciate the insights. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. What are you expecting from global GDP growth in the years ahead? I mean, Martin is not talking recession. He's not saying we're going to all fall off a cliff. But he does make a compelling argument to say it's probably not going to be as great as we would like. Have your vote, have your say on your view on global GDP. Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
So some thoughts from me, my sort of year-end process. I mean, aside from holidays and beaches and the like, I'm thinking around my portfolio and a structure I've put in place, although structure perhaps is a overly fancy word for it, a process in terms of reviewing my portfolio. Some of it is simple stuff. I mean, what has been my return for the year and what has been my annualized returns over the last 3 and 5 years? I don't need to win every year, but I need to, over the medium term, be beating the market. Otherwise, well, we could just go and buy the ETF and we could match the market. So that's the first part. But then the second part is having a good hard look at what I hold in the portfolio. Do I still like them? There will be broadly two parts to the portfolio. One is my, what I call till death do us part, our true long-term holdings. And when I buy those stocks, I write down what I like and what I don't like about them. Just a couple of points, 3 or 4 points on each side per stock. Are they still valid? Are my fears proving true? Are there perhaps other worries I should have? What I like about the business, is it working? Is it sort of delivering on those promises? Share price might not always be going the right direction, which of course is up, but that's fine. You know, sometimes markets come under pressure. But operationally, profitably, is the business doing what I like? So that's always the first part. But I also go look at what have I bought during the course of the year? How have they done? How were my buying processes? Did my thinking play out? Did my timing in terms of prices paid also play out? I will particularly on my second tier portfolio, which is stocks which may be small cap, maybe even mid and large, I would look to hold for a period of time, which could be many, many years, but at some point I look to take the profit on them. How were those buys? Did I get it right? Has the story unfolded? In essence, checking back on my thinking. The year is crazy. There's stuff coming. Holidays for me is a nice and easy time to sort of relax. Did I make any mistakes in terms of deciding not to buy something, maybe buying something? That's going to happen. It absolutely is. We're not going to be perfect at this. But what were those mistakes? Were they mistakes? Were they, I was just wrong? Did circumstances change? Did I misread circumstances? And I don't beat myself up on it. It happens. What about my selling? Now, for me, to be perfectly frank, my single biggest weakness in the stock market is the selling. I find that immensely hard to do. I'm sitting on Mr. Prices at this point in time, bought back about a year ago. I don't know, 80, 90, 100% up. When do I sell? I know that I sold some stocks during the course of the year that subsequently went up 50%. One of them, and it pains me immensely to say this, one of them might have doubled since I sold it. That is painful. What happened? Sort of analyze that. What did I miss? Truth is, I always miss a ton. There are more opportunities out there than I have money. That's just how it is. But are there big themes I'm missing? Have I missed the tech bus? Now, I haven't. Now, for me, mostly that tech run I've got through the One Invest ETF, ETF 5IT. But are there mega themes I'm missing? What I have missed to a degree is the GPL1 drugs, the Eli Lilly, Novo Nordisk. That has flown me past. But I'm not a massive fan of healthcare as a rule. So just a process, just a look back. How was the year? How was my portfolio? How was my thinking and my actions over 2024? That's it for today. We're chatting with Robin Lankabele yesterday from Perpetua Investment Managers, talking about Tiger Brands, a tough business. We asked if there were value there. It was pretty much evenly split between the three answers. A third of you, yes, it's coming right. And Alex Stace this morning was saying, yeah, he thinks it's coming right. Another third saying, nope, it is a tough business. And then the last third was saying, you know what, you prefer others out there. Most notably, a couple commented, AVI is the one you really like. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a review and an awesome rating in your podcatcher of choice. We'll chat again Monday. Stablecoins on the rise.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.